It's Elliot Friedman, our Hockey Insider, is brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. Elliot, it's funny because I was listening. You heard the highlight from Joe Bowen last night, calling the Kadri goal. But there was another highlight in the game. The first goal that was scored was Zach Hyman. And listening to Joe, he wasn't sure if it was going to be a goal. I mean, we're at that point right now where the broadcasters don't know what a goal is, even when they're calling it in real time. This can't be good for the National Hockey League. Is anything going to be done about this?
Well, I think that's going to be one of the things we're going to ask. There is an availability this weekend with the commissioner. There's a board of government meeting tomorrow, and he holds a press conference after that. And I'm sure that's something that's going to come up. And, you know, it's not just last night. You know, Winnipeg-Calgary had a controversial one last Saturday. And then, of course, we had Toronto-Columbus on Monday. There was a weird one in Nashville-Tampa on Tuesday. There was Toronto-Chicago on Wednesday. And I don't know if you saw last night Calgary-Edmonton, but in overtime, I had no idea why that one got ruled the way it did. And that's the problem. It's not only the broadcasters, it's the fans, it's the coaches, it's the players, it's everybody. I mean, what a hilarious video last night. Connor McDavid scores in the shootout, and he goes to the referee. Do you want to check upstairs? Like, that's not a look that, you know, anybody needs to see. And I really wonder, I mean, there's a couple of things you can do here, guys. Number one is, do you want to put a referee in the situation room? And number two, right now, offside, the situation room makes the final call, but goaltender interference, the referees on the ice make the final call. Now, this has been a bone of contention. There have been teams that have asked that the league take that over, but the referees were promised when this system started that that's the way it would be, and they fought hard not to give it up. So we have a battle, and I'm not sure who's going to win that one.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. Don't forget, all-star coverage all weekend long. The game itself, 4 o'clock on Sunday with the round robin among the four divisions and the all-star skills competition from Tampa tomorrow night at 7:30. Yeah, I did not know when that game ended that Connor McDavid got an abuse of officials penalty. It hasn't been the easiest year for him or the Oilers. Is he getting a rep around the league? Crosby had it somewhat. The John Tortorella's famous whiny stars rant about him and Malkin. Wayne Gretzky, we know, had it his first several years. Are there veteran players, do you think, that look at McDavid and go, of course you can play, but you are talking a lot more than 2 years ago when you were a rookie?
No, I don't think that McDavid has that rep as much as some other guys did. Mm-hmm. You know, he's more quieter. Like, the other thing too is he's got a real interesting personality. Like, if you've seen some of his commercials and stuff, there's a pretty funny guy there, a guy with a bit of a bite, and he keeps it quiet. I think, like, to me, that thing last night, and I know we got the penalty for it, but I did like it. I you know what, to me, it shows that, you know, on a team that has been a huge disappointment this year, one of the biggest disappointments in the league, you know, they had every excuse to fold last night when they fell behind 2-0, and he was great. And I think that one of the things a franchise player has to do is put the team on his shoulders and drag them out of bad situations. Now, you can't always do that, but last night was the night I did it, and I had no problem with that because it showed his passion for the moment. And I don't think he has that same reputation, guys. Mm-hmm. At least I haven't heard it yet at the same levels I heard it for some other players.
This has been a long, drawn-out affair, and it's going to continue on. The John Tavares possible sweepstakes, I mean, does he know what's going to be in the future? Thought Larry Brooks made some interesting points in the New York Post this week, talking about the fact that they may bounce back between two different arenas. How is that a way? And for 3 years, how is that a way to convince this guy that staying there through these years when they're finally getting an arena, like way down the line, it seems to me they're getting further away from keeping him.
Well, the one thing is, like, you know, I think the Stamkos thing should have taught us all not to assume anything. Because, you know, we all thought Stamkos was leaving, and at the end of the day, he stayed. And he had some pretty big numbers thrown at him, although with the taxes in Tampa, it balanced a lot of things out. So the one thing I learned from that was not to assume. You know, there's a reason that John Tavares is still a New York Islander, and it's because the team believes they can keep him. I agree with you. I don't think the arena thing is great for them, but at least they got a long-term home. If he signs an 8-year deal, at least at this way, he knows he's spending probably most of his time in one building. To me, though, guys, the bigger thing is they're going to make the playoffs. Like that guy, all that guy cares about is winning. And, you know, you have to convince him that you're in a position to win. And Barzal helps. That guy's a hell of a player. But the thing that would worry me the most if I was the Islanders would be missing the playoffs in this year. And they're in and you know, they've been patient about helping their net minding and their defense. I think they're going to need to find some help, though.
Let me ask you about Brad Marchand. I mentioned a stat yesterday on the show, and a friend of mine said you couldn't have got that stat right. Shockingly, this time I did. He's still the highest points per game player in the league. He's ahead of Kucherov. He's ahead of McKinnon, but he missed a chunk of games earlier. He's going to miss more with the suspension. He apologized yesterday. Can you think of other examples where this is a much more skilled player than a Matt Cook or a guy that the organization eventually sits down and says, "You're killing us, buddy. We need you to be on edge, but not like this." Is this a turning moment for Brad Marchand getting a 6 suspension and a very visible one at that?
You know, I thought the turning point was going to be when he got suspended for that outdoor game. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was 2 years ago, Greg. Like, you know, last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago. I can't remember which year it was, either last year or 2 years ago. But I left him, like, he deserved to be named on the hard ballot. And there were 5 other guys. I remember I had a group of 6. And I put him 6th, and I wrote it. I said that the reason that I left Marchand off my ballot is because I think he's hurting the Boston Bruins by consistently getting suspended. And, you know, the thing is, the reason they threw kind of the book at him this time was because, you know, he's said, how many times has he said, "Oh, I'm going to learn. I know I can't do this." He certainly did it when he got suspended for the outdoor game.
Yes.
And he can't help himself. I mean, he's... the only guy I can figure it out is himself. And, you know, he's got to know now, the next time he does this, he's getting an in-person hearing and he's going over 6. But the only guy I can stop is Marchand himself. But unfortunately, history proves he can't be convinced.
The Leafs win last night, probably as unlikely of a game for them to win as any this season. I mean, they have the All-Star break in front of them. They're on the road. They're playing a team that's good at home, a team that's good, period. They got their backup goaltender, and they played a lineup on the road that Mike Babcock said was only for the road. Then when they get back home, he's going to change it up. Can he really do that after these 2 wins in Chicago and Toronto?
Well, if you heard him last night, after the game, he basically said, "I've got something to think about over the break." So I think there's a chance this might be staying. And if you looked at Marner and Kadri last night, I don't know how you could feel any differently. So I think he's probably put them into, they've probably put him in a position. Like, all you can do as a player is try to change your coach's mind, right? And, you know, the other thing you didn't mention there, Elliot, is that Dallas was sitting there waiting for them too. So, and, you know, I was happy for McElhinney because he takes a lot of crap, which is, to me, is kind of crazy. I think he's done a pretty good job as the backup goalie for this team when a bunch of guys couldn't do it before they acquired him. But I think Babcock, they've given him something to think about it, and he indicated after the game last night he is going to consider it. And, you know, why not? Because I agree with you. Like, last night's win in Dallas, that, to me, was one of their most impressive victories of the year.
Yeah, by far. It's significant also, you know, Matt Martin out of the lineup 2 games in a row. I'm sure he returns, but I think maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel for a playoff team that doesn't ice a Matt Martin. Nobody looked intimidated last night. Nobody needed retributive justice of any kind last night or the night before in Chicago. And we know that the Burke era had tons of guys that they would healthy scratch that had, you know, big tickets attached to them with the Thomas Erichs and the Jeff Fingers. I know Burke didn't sign Jeff Finger. Do you think there's something there with Matt Martin, or do you think it's a simple break and he'll find his way back in consistently?
Well, I think the thing that was most interesting about that was, I think Dallas is one of Dallas's most recent games. They had 6 fights.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah.
Yes, the Florida game. And so I think that was very instructive that they didn't put him back in there. You know, honestly, Greg, to me, the biggest question is Kapanen. Is this a long look for him? Mm-hmm. Is this a showcase of some kind? Like, are people wanting to see him play? I think Kapanen's situation probably determines that as much as anything else.
Elliot Friedman, thank you so much for joining us. We feel for you being forced to go to Florida in the middle of winter. Try to hang in there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
It's a difficult job, but somebody has to do it.